Please stand if you are able, and let us sing about standing. Standing on the promises. It is found on page number 271 of your red hymnal, if you care to sing out of that. So let us sing Standing on the Promises.
Standing on the promise is more than just being upright. Standing on the promises means staying still. Standing on the promises mean that you are going to be strong and sturdy on those promises of God. Let's bow in prayer. Gracious Lord, in this time of study of Scripture, we pray for the inspiration of your Holy Spirit. We pray for Your Spirit to be upon us and to guide us as both I speak and as people listen. Lord, may this bring glory to you and strength to your people. In Christ we pray. Amen. The consistory is in the process of forming a task force to study future purposes of or future uses of the South property. About 20 years ago, the congregation made a fairly quick decision to purchase the acreage to the south of our parking lot between the parking lot and Dairy Queen. The former owners came to us and said, we were going to sell this, and they kind of gave us first option, and the decision was readily made to purchase that property. And there were no uses given at that time, but the primary focus was, well, it's the only way we can expand if we want to in the future, but it also protects us from what might be put in there if we don't own the land. So that aspect of protecting what might be built there. When Lynn and I were living and working at Temple Hills Church Camp, while we were there, we went to worship at St. John's United Church of Christ in the nearby city of Mansfield. And Reverend Marcus Buehrer, who grew up in this congregation, brother of Willie, uncle of Ben, was the pastor at that time, and we knew that ahead of time, so that was kind of the connection as to why we went there. And Marcus got involved in a community effort to kind of protect the city. St. John's UCC in Mansfield is a downtown church. There were some empty buildings in that area, and there was a group or an individual that wanted to bring in, quote, an adult bookstore and or a strip club, and the churches, and Marcus was kind of the leader of that, wanted to do all they can to keep that kind of business from coming into the downtown, and so they were working on protecting the city. When Ryan was a freshman in high school and on the football team, the stadium at the new Archbold High School, it's kind of old right now, but it was new then, the stadium hadn't fully been built yet. The field was in, so they played a couple of freshman JV games, but the stands were not ready. And so for some of those games, the fans got to stand along the sidelines behind the players. It gave us a great focus of what was happening on the field, but unfortunately, it also allowed all the parents to hear what some of the coaches might have been yelling at the players. And at one of those games, after the game was over, I had three or four parents come up to me, evidently as one of the pastors of the community. They had heard at the other end, because I didn't hear it, there was a coach on a tirade against one player that was using quite a bit of colorful language. And they thought that was inappropriate, and they wanted me to take care of that. So I got a hold of Coach Downey, and I shared what had happened, and he assured me that he would take care of the situation. I didn't do any follow-up, but at the next practice, after Ryan got home from the next practice, he told me that that particular assistant coach had to run punishment drills, just like some of the players might have to do following, you know, if they had penalties in the games. Well, those parents were trying to protect the character of their sons. I'm sharing in a Bible study with someone on the themes of identity and integrity, speaking to a person's Christian character. This past week, we looked at Galatians 5, 16 through 26, in which Paul writes, "So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you," Paul writes, "as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God." Protection, building character, living by the Spirit, not gratifying the desires of the sinful nature. Such character is the desire of God for all of us, for each of us. The Apostle Peter writes of this in his first letter, chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. "But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, 'Be holy because I am holy.'" In his writing, Peter is drawing from the book of Leviticus. Three different places in the book of Leviticus, we can read, "Consecrate yourselves to be holy because I am holy." God is holy. There is no wickedness in God. How holy is God? How holy is the Lord? Psalm 92 talks to us about God's holiness. The Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him. I want you to think about that for a few moments. There is no wickedness in God. God is pure. God is perfect in faithfulness. God is holy and he's pure, unblemished by any evil or darkness of character. And as God is holy, God wants us each to be holy. God wants us to be protected from the schemes of Satan. Satan is out there prowling around. He has schemes to work against us. Ephesians 6, verse 11, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. That's why we sung Standing on the Promises, so we can stand in strength against the devil's schemes. Protection, building character, living by the Spirit, not gratifying the desires of the sinful nature. Psalm 92 describes the true character and the nature of God. And we're going to take some time to kind of go verse by verse quickly through Psalm 92. So I encourage you to open up your Bible. If you're using a Pew Bible, it's page 590, Psalm 92. Verse 1, it is good to praise the Lord. What you are doing, what we are doing, it is good to praise the Lord and to make music to your name, O Most High. The Lord's name speaks of the authoritative presence of God. God is with us, and he is our authority. Thanking God, respecting God, honoring God, it is good to do so. And to make music. Music and singing is a wonderful expression of our gratitude to God. Music speaks to our very souls. Verse 2, to proclaim your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night. We can take that we praise God in the morning and we praise God at night. What it's actually talking about is God is steadfast in his love in all times, and we need to be steadfast in our praise of God throughout all of the days, from the morning until the night. To proclaim God's name every day, every night. Not just on good days, not just on good nights, but to praise God every day. Verse 3, to the music of the 10-string lyre and the melody of the harp, there is to be harmony. The melody of life comes as we seek the righteousness of God. Verses 4 and 5, for you make me glad by your deeds, O Lord. I sing for joy at the works of your hands. How great are your works, O Lord. How profound your thoughts. The works of the Lord. Speaking of the historic acts as recorded not only in Scripture, but recorded in our hearts and minds as we recognize how God has acted on our behalf throughout history, but also in the history of each of our own individual lives. That's how God makes his name known. And these are reasons for giving thanks. God's work. I know that in my time with the candidate on Thursday and Friday, I was praising God for the way that he's created this beginning relationship, and where it might go, we don't know. But as the candidate and I shared back and forth on some personal time, it was the blessing of how God had put us together. Giving thanks. And God is profound. His love and his wisdom, it's very deep and it's very broad. That's why there is no wickedness in him. He knows all. Verses 6 and 9. The senseless man does not know. Fools do not understand that though the wicked spring up like grass and all evildoers flourish, they will be forever destroyed. I got in trouble once for calling somebody a fool through one of the sayings that was on the signboard many years ago before it became digital. But the aspect of calling someone else foolish is not politically correct. But yet, this is the word of God. And what does it mean by senseless and foolish? He's talking about the wicked. He's talking about those that do not know, those that do not understand the greatness of God. And in this verse, these verses, we see God's wisdom revealed. The wicked may prosper for a time, and their success in this world may confuse, may distress, may mislead other people in this world. But the final fate of the wicked is eternal destruction. We covered that a few weeks ago as we studied the book of Habakkuk. And we can get upset or distressed when we see the wicked having great success and all kinds of senses of material wealth. The news has all kinds of sharings about those kinds of things. The reality is, we are there too. We can be wicked. We can have sin in our hearts. So we can't be judging others, can't be pointing about others. So I'm not giving you examples again. It also begins with us. Now the good news is, as people of God, we are here to worship because we know confession and repentance and forgiveness of sin through Jesus Christ. Verse 9, for surely your enemies, O Lord, surely your enemies will perish. All evildoers will be scattered. People are the sinful one, not God. There's no wickedness, no sin in God. So it's we that have broken that relationship between God and ourselves. And God yearns for us to return to him. In the Bible study I'm sharing in on Christian character, one character of Christian integrity is the trait of discipline. Discipline. Not punishment for doing something wrong, but discipline. And in the Bible study resource, discipline is defined as making an advanced decision to delay gratification as long as necessary to achieve the results you most desire. We are making decisions. We are living by faith to delay gratification. In contrast to the world is focused on instant gratification and easy solutions. How many commercials, how many items do you see advertised as easy, or it's going to make it easy? If you use that product, it's going to make it easy. We want instant and we want easy. Now, that's none of us. That's everybody else. We're willing to wait. We're willing to work. Discipline is preparing in advance to delay gratification. That delayed gratification is not the rewards of the world. That delayed gratification is salvation and eternal life. So we are preparing through God's word to delay that sense of gratification until Jesus Christ returns. Verse 10, you have exalted my horn like that of a wild ox. Fine oils have been poured upon me. The horn, symbolizing strength and symbolizing might. The wicked will be destroyed, back in verse 7. And the righteous, they will have their strength renewed and exalted. The oil, it's a symbol of rejoicing, a symbol of worship and celebration. Verse 11, my eyes have seen the defeat of my adversaries. My ears have heard the rout of my wicked foes. Sometimes we can feel pressed down by enemies and adversaries that are getting their way, and we're not. And there's a reference to Romans 8, 37, where Paul writes, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We don't have to conquer the ways of the world because Jesus Christ allows us to conquer the sin and the evil desires of our sinful nature through his grace and through his mercy. Verses 12 and 13, the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. Righteousness. Righteousness is a gift of God's good judgment. And to flourish, embracing the realities of prosperity, long life, a deep faith, a vigorous nature. In the evergreen palm tree, the palm tree that survives, the palm tree that is well planted, the palm tree that is strong and lasts. Contrasted with the wicked will have their season. For the wicked, this world provides the best they will ever experience. For the wicked, this world provides the best they will ever experience. For the righteous, this world provides the worst they will experience. The trials and troubles of this world for the righteous are the worst we will experience because eternity, salvation through Jesus Christ, that will be beyond our description of holiness and goodness, of love and faithfulness. Verses 14 and 15. They will bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming, the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him. The palm tree and the cedars, they are standing upright. They are made to live and thrive where they are planted. They have size. They have strength. They have durability. They have beauty. They have usefulness. They bear fruit. So it shall be for the righteous. The Lord is upright. He is my rock. It is the Lord that allows us, enables us to stand and to stand firm. And we are to give him honor. We are to give our attention to God. It is true. There is no wickedness in God. And yet, God welcomes sinners. Jesus Christ came to heal the sick. Jesus Christ came to call the sinners. God welcomes all who turn from wickedness and who turn to him. That's through the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. Wickedness. The wickedness that we've had in our hearts in the past, any wickedness that might be in our hearts in the future, as we seek the righteousness of God, anything that develops, we can chase away because God is holy. And God promises forgiveness of sin for those who come to him. Redemption, our redemption, is available through the mercy and the grace of Jesus Christ. There is no wickedness in God, and his love is vast and great. Let's pray. Lord, I pray for all that are hearing my voice this day, that they know of your holiness, and that they know of the promise of forgiveness, that any one of us that is dealing with sin, dealing with evil desires, that we would have the strength through your Spirit to open ourselves and to be honest before you, that you would redeem us and that you would restore us, that we might be your light in your voice to proclaim your goodness and your salvation. In Christ we pray, amen. Let's pray over the offerings that we're going to share this morning. Lord God, in your goodness, you have been so good to us. We recognize this in our worship, and we recognize this now as we share our offerings and our tithes and even ourselves and our ways of service in the church and in the community. And Lord, we pray your blessing upon these offerings and ourselves as we humbly serve you, that these offerings and ourselves might be a testimony, a witness to draw others to you. In Christ we pray, amen. I invite our ushers to come forward. Our ushers are going to come back in for the second offering, an offering toward our capital campaign, Imagine Your Faith Building. And as they do so, I will share with you that the building committee formed so far will hold their first meeting on April 11th, so about a month away, or a little over a month and a half. I want to share with you who's on the building committee. Chairperson will be Jeff Rutledge. The consistory liaison will be Ryan Christman. And committee members at this point are Tim Beck, Kelly Ducey, Ann Feather, Jim Greaser, Dean Souter, Richard Spies, Greg Walker, and Roger Zimmerman. Available in an advisory role as needed throughout the process will be Jeremy Hurst and Jocelyn Walker. We continue to look for others to serve on that committee. We are looking for some further women to serve. If you feel led to do that, either talk to Jeff Rutledge or myself sometime before April 11th. So thank you for being patient as the process is now probably in its 22nd year. We started long ago, but we're picking up speed. So thank you for your faithfulness.
Please stand if you are able and let us sing our closing hymn. It is Wonderful Grace of Jesus. It is found on page 198 of your hymnals. Please, after we're finished with that, remain standing for the spoken benediction, and then the benediction in song, which will be the bond of love. We will sing verse 1, and it is found on page number 281 of your red hymnals. So let us sing Wonderful Grace of Jesus.
Praise his name as you gladly go into the world. Be filled with the love of God, moved to the ways of the Spirit. Be merciful to all. Amen.